Good morning, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today, and I hope that the things that are said are in truth and in an understanding way. My title is called Hear No Evil, See No Evil, Speak No Evil. And what that has to do with body parts, we'll get into that. And I appreciate the song selection by Bill. It was right on point. Even though he did ruin angry words for me, he said angry birds, and now it's stuck in my head. In our study of chapter 4, we have seen Solomon make two appeals concerning wisdom, which I entitled Childhood Memories of a Wise Man, chapter 4, 1 through 9. And you can start turning to chapter 4, Proverbs, if you want right now. And we have the two paths, chapter 4, 10 through 19. And Solomon's third appeal to wisdom is chapter 4, 20 through 27. And that's where he makes metaphoric use of body parts, such as the ears, eyes, and mouth, and such as the heart and feet. I'm going to be reading chapter 4, verse 1. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head, and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of righteousness is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's own whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep your corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. Now, the proverb three of the three wise monkeys, namely, hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil, is not from the Bible. As the origin of the quote is actually from an ancient carving dating back to the 17th century, and some people say as far back as the 8th century, originating in China. It comes from Confucius' Code of Conduct, but without the famous three monkeys. You can read more about it in Wikipedia. So what does this quote have to do with the Bible? Well, for sure, the Bible says to do no evil. And as a matter of fact, in the book of Thessalonians, we see it says, abstain from every form of evil. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22. So I found a story online about paying attention and listening. And no, this is not for my kids. The story goes, a car mechanic received a repair order that read, "Check for clunking sound when going around corners." So he took it out on a test drive, and sure enough, whenever he went around a corner, he heard a clunk. However, he quickly located the problem and returned to the repair shop and went to the service manager with the notation, "Removed bowling ball from trunk." Somebody wasn't paying attention. So you would think that a person would know if there was a bowling ball in their trunk. Also, when you're driving, a lot of times you see an ambulance going down the road, and you always see that one person that's not paying attention. Everyone else is pulling off to the side of the road, but because they're paying attention, they hear the sirens and they see the flashing lights. So God is flashing his lights and sounding the siren. Are we paying attention to avoid evil? 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." We need to be spiritually alert to what is happening in the world, to what the devil is doing. Hear no evil. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings." Proverbs 4:20. In other words, careful attention to words of wisdom is required. If we have ears to hear, then we must use them, leaning forward if necessary. Similar to the Bereans who received the word with all readiness in Acts 17:11. The psalmist teaches us in the very first verse of the book of Psalms, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Psalms 1:1. Therefore, do not listen to ungodly counsel. In other words, hear no evil. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." Do we make good use of our ears, listening carefully when wisdom is shared? Focus your eyes on wisdom. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Proverbs 4:21. The eyes should be fixed on wise teaching. This implies careful reading of that which imparts wisdom. As Paul charged Timothy, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." 1 Timothy 4:13. Jesus himself, when it comes to seeing no evil, teaches us to go to extremes to keep our eyes from causing us to sin. In Matthew 5:29, it says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." Someone that could have caused a lot less trouble for himself and others by plucking out his own eyes was David. In 2 Samuel 11, I'll be reading verse 1, it says, "In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, 'She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah, the Hittite.' Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, 'I am pregnant.'" So do we make good use of our eyes, whether reading or seeing things to help make us wise? Proverbs 4:25 says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you." And I have a quote from the BBC. It says, in a day when the mass media bombards us with publicity designed to rouse our animal appetites, we must learn to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I think that's very true. Constantly throughout the day, whether it be on our cell phones or whether it be on the radio or on TV, we're constantly bombarded with, to put it in general terms, sin. They're constantly advertising things that elicits lust, for lust of the pride of a life, also sexual things constantly on the radio, or you hear them in songs, and then on TV you see them in movies and shows. So we have to abstain from that form of evil. We have to change the channel or change the station or even what we read about. So let's get into speak no evil. For the mouth and lips put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Proverbs 4:24. We must not use our mouths and lips to lie and otherwise mislead others. A lot of times I've been guilty of it. I mean, we all have lied before, but misleading others is where you say a little bit of truth, but you hold back some other part of the truth. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do. Sometimes you don't want to say something because it might embarrass you or you might get in trouble. So it's always good to not mislead others, to always speak the truth. As Paul commanded, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Ephesians 4:25. Again, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Ephesians 4:29. So are we careful about what comes out of our mouth and our lips? Now we're getting into the heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Proverbs 4:21. The heart of the Bible often refers to the mind of a person. This implies meditation upon those things we have heard or read. As Paul exhorted the Philippians, meditate on these things in Philippians 4:8. Do we spend time contemplating the wisdom we hear and read? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Diligence is required to guard the heart, which is the mind and the thoughts. We have to constantly be fighting a battle of what we're thinking about. A lot of times, like I said, you know, you're bombarded with advertisements and shows and stuff like that, and you have to guard yourself because that can influence your thinking. As Jesus revealed concerning sin, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, and thefts. Mark 7:21-23. And I have just as an example, it's not something that will actually happen in the afterlife, but I have a little story here. It says, a man once dreamed of passing into the world beyond. An angel met him and showed him a great golden book. What is that? He inquired. It is the book of your life, was the reply. Looking closer, he saw that there was something written on the first page. What is there? He asked. These are your evil acts, said the angel, and you see that they are many. The angel turned the page, and the dreamer saw that the next sheet was more closely written. These, said the angel, are your evil words, and you see that there are more of them than there are acts. For a man speaks more than he acts. The poet trembled. The next page was still more closely written. What are these? Said the dreamer. These are your evil thoughts, and you see that there are very many. For a man thinks more than he speaks or acts. With a trembling voice, the dreamer asks what the fourth page contained. The angel turned it over, and lo, it was black as midnight. This represents your evil heart, said the angel, for it is out of the blackness of the heart that all thoughts and words and acts come. So are we careful about what goes into our hearts and our minds? For the feet. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Proverbs 4:26. Think about the direction in which your feet are taking you. Work towards walking in established ways, not the unstable. In this, the Lord is willing to assist us. In Psalms 37:23, it says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him." And in Proverbs 3:6, it says, "In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Proverbs 4:27 says, "Do not turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil." With the Lord before you, don't let the allurements of the world distract you. Should you take a step in the wrong direction, quickly step back. No one becomes a bank robber overnight. It first starts with a thought, and little actions eventually lead up to that. Just like with any sin, it all originates from the thought, from the heart, the mind. So take guard over what you think of, because it can slowly lead you down a path that you may not want to go down in. And that's the same with bad habits. Bad habits always start with that first action that you do, and then you do it again, and you're like, oh, I just did it once, or I just did it twice, and then you do it again and then again, and it becomes a way of life. When I was in fifth grade, I had a bad habit. For some reason, I used to do this with my thumbs, and I don't know if it was a nervous habit or what the deal was. But I used to pull at the skin of my thumbs like this. Well, for some reason, you need that skin to push down on your nails, because if you don't, it slowly grows with little bumps, ridges on your thumbnail. And from constant habit, doing it over and over again, that I had ridges on my thumbs. And it took a while before I stopped that it grew out nice and smooth. So that's one example of a bad habit that started from the first time I did that to the second time, to the third time, to the fourth time. So, again, the Lord is willing to help us. Matthew 6:13 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." In 1 Corinthians 10:13 it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." So are we careful about where our feet are taking us? Through proper physical therapy, we can live wisely, using our ears, eyes, and mouth in ways that are wholesome and good. We can live wisely by filling our hearts with good, so that is good that proceeds from our hearts. And we can live wisely by watching where our feet are taking us, turning away when headed in the wrong direction. So how are we using our bodies as we go through life? Do we listen attentively to the spoken word of God? Do we read carefully the written word of God? Do we apply God's word to our heart and soul? And are we careful about what we see, say, and hear? Are we watching the direction that our feet are taking us? Failure to apply these lessons of physical therapy, we will fail to succeed in life. So if there's anyone here that is in need of the church, or if there's anyone that wants to be baptized, for the remission of sins, please come as we stand and sing.